Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson!
All right. Good afternoon and happy hump day to you. Welcome. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and I see already Stan is in the house. What's up, Stan? Thank you for joining me, man. I'm sure we about ready to finish what we were talking about yesterday, I'm sure. I hear you. But now, before we go ahead and get started with that, hey, you know what? There's some things I want to talk about. Yeah. What's up with all these states all of a sudden wanting to secede from the rest of the United States? I mean, really? Do they really? Don't they realize if they leave the United States, they no longer get federal money? You know, if there's military in the town, in the cities, or in the state, the military would have to leave. They have to get their own military. You know, I mean, come on, y'all. Let's be real about this thing. You know, it's just downright dumb. You know, but hey, I guess that's what makes America great, huh? Freedom of speech. You do what the heck you want to. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. I may be wrong, but that's all I'm saying. You know? Good Lord. 15 states, man, want to leave the United States, become their own sovereign country and all that good stuff. They haven't thought that through. They haven't thought it through yet. But anyway, let me see what Stan want. Man, Stan, man, I ain't even got started yet, man. Oh. Hey,
no,
Stan.
Eric, how are you, Eric? I was going to let you. I want to continue what we did yesterday because the way we ended the show, I was like, what? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, yeah, we definitely going to continue that. You know, that was a hot topic.
And to come back to what you're saying, the 15, that's not going to happen. We're not going to separate. Those 15 states are not going to separate from America. Come on. They're just mad and frustrated because they lost their Mr. Romney, and they all thought, the conservatives thought that, oh, Romney's going to be the president. And when they got basically beat up by a landslide by our president, they were shocked. They couldn't believe it. Cold Rose. And what's his name? The other one, Dick Morris. We should give their money back. Both of those people should give their money back to Fox and everybody. Because I heard it was supposed to be a landslide. We were supposed to be crying. There was going to be the joy of goodness. And when it happened, I said, I told many shows, don't ever underestimate a black person. Don't ever underestimate black people. Don't ever, ever.
You know what, and that made a lot of sense. But you know what? Now, honestly, here's the thing. Number one, it's illegal for any state to secede after the Civil War. They made it illegal to do that, so that's not happening anyway. You know, but it is a long book. You know, as long as they get 25,000 signatures, hey, you know, the president has to look at it. Okay, I looked at it. No, to send it back to him. You know, but. You know, that just goes to show, you know, for all the strives and the great things we supposedly made in this country, we have a long way to go. That's all.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, we have a long way to go for all the stuff that, oh, we're doing the best for our country. Now that Obama's back to the president, now we're looking at Republicans to the Congress and the House. What are you going to do now? Are you going to block him again? Because he has nothing to lose now. He's not going to come back as president again. So what are you going to do now? Because many Republicans say he's a one-term deal, so we're cutting everything that he does. Now he's going to come to you and say, hey, in January we need to clear the fiscal thing, or else all the Americans are going to get more taxed. And that's the president, what he said. He said, hey, I'm ready to work with those guys.
Well,
the Republican House doesn't want to block me. That has nothing to do with me. That has to do with them.
You're right. Well, see, here's the catch to that, too. I think they have an election coming up in a couple of years, see? So they better start doing something they're supposed to. Or they won't be coming back.
2014.
Mm-hmm.
So they better wake up. They can't do like last year. Oh, we're going to block him. He's going to be a war-turned president. I'm like, really? Okay.
Well, we know that's not happening anymore, right? Right.
Yeah. I love what he did in the second debate. I'm sorry, I may be gloating, but the first debate I was hearing from conservative that was going to be the end. Next thing you know, President Obama said, "You want to play games? Okay, we're going to play games." And the second one, he was just hitting home run with Romney. The third one was he was such informed about the foreign, and Romney would say, "Oh, I agree with you, Mr. President. Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. Oh, sorry, sir, I agree with you." That's what the whole thing he was doing, the third debate. Couldn't come with one thing to say that, it was such a line. So I'm happy he won. I'm very happy he won. So some people are jealous, man.
You know what, I'm sure there's a whole lot of people glad he won. But you know what, and somebody said this, I think it was a comedian said it, but somebody said it, and you know, it was true. No matter who won, half was going to be happy and half was going to be upset. So it is what it is, you know, move on, hell, it's done,
yeah,
it's over with, you know, yeah. Move on. You know, I just thought it was interesting that all of a sudden, you know, 15 states wanted to, you know, get away, form their own country. And the majority of them are Republican governors, which really made me laugh. Now I'm like, okay, here we go again with this nonsense. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what
it is. The society talked and they say, if we want to resolve health care, we are sick of time of getting big bills. And a lot of Republicans are like, no. And I say, yes. Supposed to be resolved a long time. We're supposed to be the number one country in the world, and we have a healthcare who's not good. We're the 37th healthcare in the world, Americans. 37. That's not normal.
Wow. Well, hopefully we'll fix that. I mean, I agree with you. The healthcare need to be fixed. So hopefully this is a good start. No, maybe next we can work on our education system that seems to be falling by the wayside.
Science and bio and math, we're compared to the world. I wouldn't put a Japanese person versus us. You would crush it. French people, German people would crush us. Trust me. Put them in a test. Put the best student that you have in America versus those people. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm putting my money on the German and the French.
I ain't putting my money on
Americans. Let's be honest. They learn what? They learn their language. They learn English. And usually they learn another different language. So, you know, most of them are fluent in three different languages. Most of the time we can barely get English out.
Three languages. French, they know, in France they have to know three languages. French, English, and Spanish.
Yeah,
it's even four language. It's amazing, four language. And then we were like, "Oh, we just know English."
But well, you know what? No, it's funny though. Everybody speaks English, right? So that's the universal language.
Yeah,
think about it. No matter where you are, everybody speaks English.
Of course.
Anyway,
they know four languages. They even know more. They know more than our history than we even know our own.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because I've heard some people in the elsewhere that say, "Do you know Americans that?" And I see Americans looking like, "Did we really do that?" "Yes, we did." "Oh, I don't know." But and they look at us like, "That's your own history. How can we not know that?" I was like, "Let me go get some book. Let me start using watching MTV and do videos."
Well, you know, if it ain't on video, a lot of folks not learning anything. Period.
If it's not a video, I'm not learning it.
Yeah,
I know.
Right. Amazing. All right, y'all. I know what y'all waiting on out there. I see y'all coming in. Y'all coming in. I see you. Well, we can
make
finish
them
this.
Come. Make them come. I'm waiting for this one. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for now. That is the ultimate debate why men and women is beyond the thing that's not working, because women wish that men, we would have that feeling that as soon as we sleep with them, that we'd be like, oh my God, you're the only woman for me. And we don't. I'm sorry. We're going to be honest in this show. You're sure we're going to be honest. Maybe other shows, like, we're going to fake it, say, oh, yes, we do, but we don't. We don't have that biology thing. Women do. And that's one thing that women can never get. They're like, you could try to be like men, but trust me not, you will lose in that game.
Yeah, you know what though? I don't know about that, Stan, now, because I know some women out there, they're a little bit more treacherous than the men are when it comes to sex now.
I know, but in general, if you put in general men and women, and you're telling men you could sleep with whoever you want and there's no feeling, no commitment, no nothing, they'll go through women like it's nothing. Women, some of them will start having feeling. I was so mad. Yes, this morning I saw a show in Dr. Phil that was talking about that. A woman that was basically accepting, because the guy was very good in bed, and I guess something like that, she accepted the guy beating her up. She accepted the guy beating her up, putting her down, doing all the things that you would never, cheating 20 times. But and Dr. Phil was like, why? Well, you know, he's good in bed, and you know, I can't. I was like, just like that.
Well, you know, I'm glad you were. Is there such a thing as sex being so good, you know, it makes you forget everything else? You don't need the commitment. You don't need to talk to nobody. As long as we having great sex, you know, is it a such thing as, you know, okay, as long as the sex is good, I ain't got to worry about nothing.
Yeah,
you know,
some
is there such thing?
Yeah, some people like that. I've known some people like that. There are some women that say, why are you with this guy? He's not working. He's not doing anything. This, like, well, he's the bomb in the bed. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Really?
He's doing what he needs to do. Okay. So you rather have somebody good in bed than not. And some women won't say it, but that's the truth. Because when you look at them, like, it does not make sense. Why are you still with this guy? He's against your moral. He doesn't respect you. Doesn't treat you well. Doesn't do all the things that you said you're supposed to. Cheats many times. So are you still with him? And you choose. And you're still paying the bill for him.
Mm. So
and
what he's about
in your house?
And that's what I'm saying. So going back to what we were talking about yesterday, you know, which was on the line of sex. So when does sex, as far as a commitment, come in? When do you talk about that? You know, and now Charlotte, I don't think she's here right now. But you know, Charlotte said, you know, nothing happens until she feels, you know, it's you know, to y'all have the conversation that, you know, you are my man. And, you know, that's when you get the cookies from her. So
and I disagree with that, because I don't want to be committed to somebody who's not good in bed. That's my whole thing. If you're not good in bed, how am I going to be committed to you? You could be the greatest person in the world, and you could be this and that, but if you suck in bed, and I look at that, and then I'm committed to you, and then I'm going to be like, okay, I was committed to you Monday, and Tuesday I would call you up, I'm not committed to you anymore. But that's an important point to me. Sorry. That's what women don't get. That's why a lot of guys say, I want to test the car before I give commitment. I'm not going to give commitment to just anybody. You got to be the whole, but you got to have every part of their life to have commitment. Because if you don't have the part that I like, what am I going to be committed to? Because of your personality?
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of people say, you know, relationship, I mean, more than just sex. Even though sex does play. So
it's a combination
saying,
of both. It's
yeah, but what you're saying,
and the sex.
But saying what you just said is, if you get in a relationship with and the sex is horrible, you ain't feeling it then.
Nope. I ain't not here to educate you. how to do what you got to do. I'm not here to tell you that you come to me and say at 25 or 27, I'm a virgin, Sally. You're so lucky I'm giving it to you for the first time. I was the first one taking my pants back and saying, see you. Because I 99.99999% is the type of fuck if you're a virgin. What, you're a virgin at 29? No. No, you gotta go.
Well, okay. So, I mean, some people will say, well, you know, that's a good thing because then, you know, you can mold them and teach them, you know.
No.
That's not happening.
I'm not here to. You're supposed to know your body and everything. And yes, I'm supposed to satisfy you and know what you like, what you don't like. But you don't even know your body? And I'm supposed to teach you? No. At 29? No. Okay.
Stan, let's reverse it. How about you get to this young lady and she thinks you know, not the bomb, you missing out on something, she tries to, you know, instruct you. How would you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I have to make sure that I am the bomb. I make sure that I ask the woman when I'm doing some stuff, if it's like that you like or I don't. I don't say that I'm the bomb just like that because I make sure I ask the question that I need to ask in bed so she does have a great experience.
When are you asking the question, though? Before or after or during?
During the time that we're having sex, of course. I want to make sure that she has the best time ever. I don't want her to say to me, well, you know, telling you a treat. I don't want that. I'm not that stupid. My whole intention is to make her feel amazing and to give her pleasure. That's my whole intention with it. But that's the only time that I'll submit to a woman and say, fine, I will do whatever freakiness I need to do to make you feel like I can't believe you went there. If I got it, I'll do whatever freakiness I need to do.
Let's see. In the chat room, we got, why is it that when men sleep all these different women, they are proving their manhood, and when a woman sleep with all these different men, they are called a slut?
And that's the thing I told you yesterday. That's the whole mentality that I'm against. It's not because a woman sleeping with a lot of men that she's a hoe. A woman that's sleeping with a lot of men and she's committed, that's a hoe.
Okay.
If you're not committed. That's a double difference. You're committed to your boyfriend and you're sleeping with 10 guys, you're a hoe. Because you're committed. You know? You're committed to a guy, but you don't have this standard to say, you know what? Nah, I don't want to be committed. Then you're a hoe.
But Stan, okay. So you're a guy and you're in a committed relationship and you just sleeping, you slinging dick all over town, then what does that make you?
That make me a hoe?
That make you a what?
That makes me bad. That makes me unfaithful. That's why, as a guy, before I be committed, I'm not going to be committed to just anybody. I'm going to be committed to somebody I'm not going to be cheating with. If I'm going to be committed and say, you're the one, you got to be the one. You got to be special to be the one. Basically, you got to be the one that's going to keep my attention. You got to be the package. You got to have a great personality. You got to be great in bed. You have to be respectful over yourself. You got to be an unselfish chick. You got to be somebody who keeps herself in shape. You got to be a lot of things for making me say, you know what? When I do get myself in a situation, because it will happen that I'll get suddenly when you're in a relationship or you're married, women suddenly gravitate on you. Like they think like, oh, my God, suddenly you have so many women running after you. Do I have to see those women? No, I have somebody great already in my life, and if I do that, I will jeopardize that.
Mm.
You got to be great to make a guy do that. You got to be great. If you're not great, the guy could be like, well, you know, my girlfriend, she's nagging a little bit. She's putting me down a little bit. She doesn't believe in my dreams. She thinks I'm not all that. She doesn't like my friends. She doesn't like my thing. I come to have a given sex and no, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I get sex once in the blue moon. She starts cutting her hair. She starts gaining weight. Why am I committed to you?
So, okay, if that's going on, where's the communication at in that relationship then? Shouldn't that be something that should be discussed?
Yeah, but like I said yesterday, if you have the honesty between both people, if you're being honest with your partner and you're telling her that and she's taking full posture, I can't believe you tell me that. You're supposed to like me for who I am. The exterior is not the most important thing, Sally. It's the interior that's the most important thing. That crap. Forget it. You just lost the guy. The guy's just crying and saying nothing to my girl.
But still, Stanley, I mean, regardless, I mean, there's a tactful way to saying it, I would think.
Then yeah, just... but even if you say it with respect, if the girl's attacking you like that, trust me not, guys will not open up. We are guys. We don't want to be nagging. We want peace in our home. And if you say, yep, 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 I say, no, forget it. I'm not going to deal with that shit. I'm just going to shut up and just keep it on my own. I'm just going to go with the boys and tell them what happened. I know many guys that don't tell nothing to their girl, but do they feel the lot of shit? Hell yeah. I know more things about my friend that has with his girl than his girl should know.
Really?
Really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not wrong, man. I'm like, why don't you go to her? I know, I don't mind. If I even go to her and mention that, she'll go berserk. How could you do that? I'm not that kind of girl. I'm a queen. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't want that. I just want peace and quiet, Sam. I'm like, oh, okay.
But, okay. So if we're doing this honesty thing, as you always say, you yell about, then even so, you should, I mean, shouldn't there be some point in the communications that would say, you know, okay, you know, it is what it is. You know, okay,
yeah,
I've been,
but,
you know.
But that's what I'm saying. If you want a woman like yesterday, Charlotte, what you had, she said she could take the honesty and she won't criticize you for it. She'll be like, okay, I maybe disagree with you, but you have the respect to tell me and she encouraged it. That's why a guy's going to be more open and be honest with his girl.
Mm-hmm.
But if you criticize him and put him down like nothing, the guy's not going to be open. The guy's like, what's the point? Tell me what's the point of me getting being honest. I'm still putting myself down. She's still nagging me. She's doing me a fuss. What's the point? Why do I need to be honest with her? She's not hearing me. She's listening to all her girlfriend and everything. She's not even hearing me.
Well, see, there we go. She's listening to her girlfriends, so now that means there's a breakdown in the communication between you two.
Of course. She's going to call her girlfriend, and the girlfriend's going to go with her, because they're all going to be in her head. Girl, he did that. Let me tell you about my man. My man would never do that, even though the girl never went out with a girl for 3 years. How could you think he should be so lucky to have you? You're such a queen. You're such a great person. The girlfriend gave you 30 pounds. He should love you the way you are.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the girl like, nah, you're being honest. You're being honest.
You're being honest.
The girlfriend is 30, the her friend are not being honest. They go, well, what's worth your responsibility that? It's rare that I hear that. And like I said yesterday, Mr. Solution said, if I do something wrong, trust me, all my friends will check me on that. That's the first thing that all my friends does. What was your responsibility? What did you do? That's the first thing we all do as guys. Women? Girl,
you know what?
You
okay, hold on. Go back. Now, do a process of the guys. When does a guy check you? I mean, because, you know, I hang with guys, and, you know, we just don't talk like that.
Well, we take responsibility of our act. We know when we do stupid shit, like, yo, man, did you do something? And we're like, yo, man, you know? We don't sugarcoat things as guys, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because we're men. We have no choice in our life. We you can't, especially in 2012, you live in the real world, like Mr. Solution said. It's on, if you don't take responsibility, you're going to be checked by either people, your friends, and everything. That's number one. We take ownership of what we do. We have to. Women don't. You don't have to.
Okay.
Okay, perfect example, something that you don't have to. When was the last time you heard a single mother say, you know what, I choose the wrong guy, I choose a guy who wasn't worth anything, and even though I know the guy wasn't worth anything, I made the choice to get pregnant. It was my choice. When did you ever hear a single mom say that?
Well, I haven't heard a single mom say that. I haven't.
There you go. I haven't either. And that's responsibility.
That's responsibility.
That's ownership. That's basically owning up to what you did. And when you tell that girl, what do the girls say? Well, you know, the guy should take his responsibility. Well, it takes two to make one. I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe it takes two, but what's your ownership? I don't have an ownership. Okay. There you go.
Okay. So, in that case, so once again, I'm going back to what we was talking about earlier. There's a lack of communication somewhere then, right? Or is it just, you know, let's have sex first and then we'll talk about everything else afterwards? Because, okay, I already know you don't have to have a commitment to have sex. We know that those things called one-night stands and, you know, hey, I need to get one, you need to get one, hey, let's do this thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
But
and then sometimes it does happen. And then sometimes like you do have sex with a person, and because that person is being real and being who she needs to be or who you need to be, that person suddenly by being her nice, feminine, friendly, kind, good person, good heart and everything that you're spending more and more time with, like I said, it will happen naturally. You will to be committed to this woman because you're like, yo, man. And you don't talk to your friend. I did.
But,
man,
okay.
I've been spending time with this girl, man. This girl is really cool, man. Yo, or, you know, and then your boys will be like, let me see her and let me see what happens. And sometimes your boys will be like, yo, man, you better not fuck that shit, you know? That's a friend of you know?
But, okay. But, Stan, earlier you said, you know, before you commit to her, you have to sleep with her first. But I'm saying that shouldn't be the case, though. If anything, the sex should be like the sealing deal, maybe.
Well, before I'm committed to you, I gotta know if you're sexually to par. Maybe not in the beginning, but it has to be there. It has to, I cannot be committed to you if I don't know what I'm getting into. Because if the sex is not happening and it's not good, you're opening the whole door of many things, and then I'm committed to what?
But see, that's the thing. You should not be committed to her just for the sex.
No, but if the sex sucks, it doesn't help you to be committed to.
So, okay. Here we go. All right. So now, all of a sudden, your tallywhacker stopped working, right? So,
mm-hmm.
Since you can't have sex no more, are you just going to leave her alone then?
Yeah, so that's a great question.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
From what you're saying,
that is a great question. And some guys will, and some guys won't. I don't know. If you're telling me, let's say that I do get an accident and I can't perform anymore, and let's say that woman is the woman in my life, she comes back to me honestly, and she said, you know, I still have needs. Am I going to let her, I still have needs with other guys, even though I can do? Or am I going to be selfish and say, no, you have to stay with me and be miserable and forget about sex and still take care of me?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, okay, what I'm trying to get the point across is, you know, sex is good, like I said, but sex should not be the only thing that's keeping you together.
No.
See, what you're telling me is, without the sex, there's no communication, there's nothing else, it's just sex. That is what drives the relationship.
Well, without sex, there's no relationship.
Stand.
No,
really?
Business.
Think about that.
If there's no sex, you're not intimate with the person, there's no relationship. What's the difference between a friendship and a relationship? If it's not sex.
You can be in a relationship and not have sex. Now, sex, like I say, sex is a good part of it, but let's be real. You know, a relationship does not necessarily mean that sex has to be involved.
Okay.
Now, you want my theory? I'm going to give you my theory. Hold on.
Yeah.
There's a question for you, though. In the chat room, it says, what if you meet a lady and you have her agreement that it is just a sexual thing, but then she ends up being so good that you want more than what she wants? What do you do? That's a question for you.
And then you tell her the truth. If you want more, you got the right to tell her the truth. And she has the right to say, no, I just wanted to keep it sexually. And then you got to open up your heart and say, do I keep that or I don't?
Uh-huh. Okay.
You got to make it, that's acting responsible. You're not happy about something that's happening sexually. You're having great sex with that person, but you're feeling her, like you say. And you gotta, if you're feeling her, it is not her responsibility. You're responsible as a man, if you're feeling her, to tell her the truth. Well, girl, you know, I'm really feeling you. I'm enjoying the time I'm with you, and I would like it to be more than just this. You know, I want us, me and you, to be exclusive. And you're putting your card on the table. Now the woman has two choices, yes or no. That's it.
That's it, huh?
Well, what else are you going to say? Yes or no?
Yes, I think you should talk about that a little bit more. But hold on, we got another caller want to join in. Good afternoon, you're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Communication, that's what's on my mind.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Man. Hey, what's up, Joe? How you doing?
Nothing. No broads on the line.
No, there's no women on the line right now.
They'll come.
Yeah, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have anything to say yet. I'll just lay back and I'll
Joe,
listen.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, the question is, do you think that before you get committed that you do need to have a sexual, you have to have sex with that person before being committed, or should you wait for the commitment and then have sex with that person?
What are we, in the fucking 50s? I'm fucking the shit out of her.
But what if she's telling you that it's simple, as in without a commitment, I'm not giving you no draws. Then
all right,
what?
Let me repeat. I'm fucking the shit out of her.
Okay.
She doesn't want to go to bed. I'll say, okay, not a problem.
And so you just going to leave it at that?
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, what about if you're really feeling this person?
Well, if I really, 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 really like her, I have to find out why she's feeling this way. If she has some sort of psychic hang-up because of emotional baggage, I'll stick it out for a while. But if I think that she's just either playing games or she just wants to think somehow that she's a virgin, she's not for me, and I wouldn't, and I would find that out before I really had any strong feelings for her.
Okay.
All right.
But you would stick it out.
It depends, if she has problems that I think are deep, that I think are warranted. In other words, she's not just being a victim, but she's had some real problems about that. Mm-hmm. I will be there for her if I really be. If everything else about her was worthy, I would be there for her. But otherwise, no.
But okay. And what I'm going to say is, so to get to that point of finding out all that, y'all would have to sit down and talk about it at some point, correct?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, my point exactly, Stanley.
Yeah. But like Joe said, Joe has the same philosophy as me. He's not going to be committed to somebody who he doesn't know that it's good sexually in the bed.
But even, we didn't ask Joe that one.
Joe.
Okay, Joe, here's the next part of the question. Mm-hmm. Since Stanley just want to continue to keep you in this. Now, check this out. You'd have sex with the woman.
Right.
And she really sucks in bed.
Right.
Or you just ain't feeling it.
Right.
Now, you're in a relationship with this woman.
No,
at that
I'm not.
Point, okay, no, you're no, see, we're not talking about no one-night stands now.
No, I know, but I'm not in a relationship with somebody until I find out she fulfills certain qualities. And one of them has to be sexual interest. If she and I are not compatible, I will try to please her. I will teach her how to try to please me. If for some reason she just can't get it, and I don't understand why she wouldn't, but let's say she couldn't, if it's a sexual hang-up, but everything else about her is fine, and I find out again, just like the first question, Eric, if she has a legitimate emotional baggage problem, let's say she was molested, or for some other reason, I will be there for her.
Okay.
But,
all right. I mean,
but it has to be a real. But I will stick it out for a while. But I'm not getting into a relationship unless she has at least 90% of my qualities, and the other 10% are things that I can either tolerate or hope that I can change.
There you go. You see, I have the same philosophy as Joe.
No, Stanley, what you said is if the sex ain't good, you rolling. You ain't trying to stick it working out no more. You gone.
No, I'm gone, but like I agree with Joe. I have to add this. Except if she has some serious issue, like she got raped or something. I'm ready to roll with that to a certain degree. But if she's doing it because she thinks I'm a queen and what I have between the legs is the most precious thing in the world.
Then I'm with Stan. That bitch has got to be gone.
Exactly. I ain't gonna play that game. Like Charlotte said yesterday. Oh, I'm precious. And I told her, what's precious?
Precious.
What's between my leg? I'm like, what? No.
I mean,
okay. So, what's wrong?
Fuck this precious. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
A what?
What's wrong with that? Because those are the same guys that basically after that they're paying the rent, they're paying the drinks, they're paying the car, they're paying the trip, because they think that what's in between the legs of a woman is more precious than what they have between their legs.
Okay, what's wrong with you thinking what you got between your legs?
Because as a guy, we don't.
Well, most guys.
Most guys
think that what they have between their legs is what they have between their legs. They don't think like, damn, you know, what I have between the legs, man, I should get some free drinks and free trips and free dress and free rent. Hey, man, I should get it, man.
Oh, it don't, huh?
Hell no. I mean, if you take a look at any of the popular TV shows, the girls are always getting the drinks. They're always setting themselves up to get the drinks. They think of themselves as divas. This is the bizarro world. I don't understand why some creature who is smaller than me, weighs less than I am, is weaker than I am, is less intelligent than I am, does not have the ability to withstand emotional pressure as well as I do. Why the fuck I gotta cater to this thing?
Did you just call a woman a thing? Come on.
No, I called the female a thing.
Okay.
Now, if a woman is actually a woman, I am going to be so proud to be with her. But she has to have no double standards. She has to live up to being a fully mature human being, and she has to have my back. If I'm wrong, I don't expect that. But she has to have empathy and have my back.
Yeah, she has to take 100%, and she has to take responsibility for the choice she makes.
Exactly.
Well, okay, now that's fine and dandy. But what about the choice men make? Like in Stanley's case, when Stanley say if the sex, he got to have sex before get married, right? Or before they get in a commitment.
Right.
Not married, before you get in a relationship, a commitment.
Right.
And if he is in a commitment and he has, you know, the sex, but he rolling.
No, he just said no. If the girl has a problem, he'll stick with her for a while.
No, he said that after you came on, but before that, he said he was rolling.
No. I said I was rolling because I wasn't thinking about those problems like Joe said. I was thinking about those girls that are basically saying that what I have between my leg is precious. And 90% of
them
say that. That's what I was
thinking.
I like that. So
I got the golden arches between my legs.
Hey. Yeah. What I have between my legs is the precious. That's what I was berserk on Charlotte when she said, what do you mean?
Hold on, I got another caller. Hold on.
I hope it's a fucking broad. And if you don't like my language, female, you can kick your ass off.
Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. So you're mine.
Oh, somebody just came on to say nothing. Must be a female.
No, it's not a female.
Oh, okay.
Hello? Hello?
All right, let the let the wallflower be a wallflower. Okay.
But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. The way y'all talking, I don't know. So, in that case then, what is the female's role in it? Huh? What is the female role? Is there any role that she plays in the whole decision-making thing?
She plays any role that she wants in everything, but I make the decision of what I want in my life. I don't want some woman that thinks that what she has between the legs is the most precious thing in the world.
I don't want some bitch that thinks she's entitled to every fucking thing on the planet just because she can take some a few ounces of makeup and cover up her zit. She can wear a double, she can wear a push-up bra, and she wears perfume. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Because what she has between the legs, every woman has the between the legs what she has. It's not a rarity.
But every woman that doesn't feel that way about what they have between their legs. We already know this.
Well. Why? What American woman do you know that doesn't think that fucking flash between her legs isn't precious?
The one who walks around out here on the street every day and every night?
No, it's currency. A lot of women think it's currency. If you tell them, like, look, I find you attractive and I would just like to sleep with you, some women are going to get mad at you just because you said that. What do you mean? You're offering what you have between your legs to what I have and you're not giving me any drink? What kind of man are you? You're not a man. You're no gentleman. A gentleman wouldn't do that. A gentleman would bring me to nice places and put me around and put me in a pedestal and take and bring me nice flowers. You're cheap.
You're cheap. Wow.
How dare you just approach me just to want sex?
Before I forget, Eric, BTR is fucking up again. You're not coming across the speakers. I called in because I know I saw you, but I didn't have. There's nothing coming across the speakers, so you're not going out on the airways.
I ain't going out on the airway, man. That's messed up.
I know.
Oh, man. See, that's not right.
Especially when you're paying $40 a month.
Right,
not right.
No, he's coming across. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing that. How are you doing?
All right, I see the relationship titans, the communication relationship titans formed today.
Please explain to Eric, why do a lot of women think that what they have between their legs is the most precious thing in the world, and what does it do when women do those things? Please do.
Yeah, well, you know, it's sort of a double standard, Stan, because of the way we allow women to get away with. Now,
because of what you've said, Rich, we're pussified.
Well, we are definitely pussified, and we need to break out of that tiny ball syndrome. When I said last time, Eric, now this time he's stirring the pot. I know that what he's saying is to generate conversation, and that's fine. And the reason I say that, Eric, is because I won't even reveal the reason I know that you're saying it. But at any rate, women, look, this is what happens. There are certain men, I don't know if you guys saw RoboCop, but I did. I watch it from time to time. But you notice he had this particular device on his hand that he could shove into the computer and get access. Mm-hmm. Now, some guys are just like that with women. They can get access to women in the way that other guys can't. And I use that, the metaphor is the Satan and the Dracula type guy. They don't have to promise the woman shit. The woman is the one, they become the woman to the woman. Satan and Dracula. They get what they want out of the woman. You know, Dracula goes for the blood. Dracula is a disembodied demon. But now with regular men, that's who they play the game with. I watch regular women all the time. They'll have sex. You look at these groupies. They'll have sex with men. So we allow women to be very duplicitous, very confusing, very two-faced. And what happens is guys will fight clarity regarding women. And they aren't benefiting from the way women are behaving. No one really is. Even women aren't benefiting from the way they're behaving. But regarding the little real estate between their legs, yes, they use that with regular guys. I mean, guys who don't have this, in other words, good guys. Good guys don't mimic or manifest this power, this non-caring asshole type power. But that's really what most women prefer, because they like the drama. And so that's why it is so important to do what guys are doing now, but more importantly, to explain what you want from a woman. That should be a constant flow from guys, what they want. And it should be in little bite-sized nuggets, like you want a woman who is a listener. That will shut most women up, because most women don't listen. Why? Because they don't feel they have to. See, a man has to perform, pursue, and pay for the genetic celebrity female who only exercises veto power. She nominates herself as the queen bee in your life before you even know her. So guys should see their money as important as a woman's vagina. Why? Because in fact, guys' money is more important than a woman's vagina, because she didn't work for the vagina. You work for your goddamn money.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? So what has happened is America has lulled guys into being nothing more than emotional tampons for women. That's all most guys are. I was looking at this Chef Rob in the chat room the other day, and he was railing against me, just like Dracula's Keeper. You follow me? Dracula's Keeper can operate in the daylight. Dracula can't, but Dracula's Keeper can. And what happened was, he says, well, I was raised by a single mother. And he went on. Now, he didn't offer any solutions. This is what you call a feminized male. He offered no solutions. All he did was what? Attack me. And that's why I told you, Eric, you should call these guys, these, we call them, biatch-made guys.
Yeah, the bitch-made men.
They are nothing but agents for women. They are female internally. And what do I mean by that? They're narcissistic, and they do nothing but support females. Regardless, they can never look at a female critically and say, that's wrong, that's inappropriate, you need to change that behavior. You need to become more of what you want in another person, you know, because that's what the good book tells us. Love your neighbor as yourself, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So women have changed love into, what have you done for me lately? So what we should do is keep sex and money out of a budding relationship, and let it only be character. Only character. Your money is more important than the pussy.
Well,
because
think
why?
Has the
you work
for
your
did.
Money. She didn't work for the pussy. She was born with that.
Eric, you going to ask him the same question you asked Dan and I?
Sure.
Hmm.
All right, here it is. I'm going to ask the first one. Okay, do you feel, well, I know what he's going to say. This. Do you feel that it's important to have sex before you make a commitment to a woman, or is sex a part of, you know, the decision-making process?
All right, sex is very important, and we need to figure out how important. Male and female are actually sexual terms. There's no escaping that. Male and the relationship between a male and a female, one of the groundings for that relationship is a sexual one. Now, there should also be a spiritual connection, because sex is important. And that spiritual connection refers to truth. You all are telling each other the truth, and you're able to discover if you should even be together. That's very, very important, because a lot of people who are together shouldn't be together.
What would you
and the
do,
reason
Rich,
they're together
the
is because
dating.
They were ignorant of Rich. The compatibility process. So the thing is, how important is sex? Sex is important in a male-female relationship.
Rich, what would you do if you're dating a girl and you're feeling very, very strongly towards her? Not perhaps love yet, but, you know, you're getting up there. You're really thinking.
Wait. I fucked the shit out. No, I'm just teasing.
You're going to take it out of my mouth, are you? Okay. Never mind.
Hey, I'm sort of being a little bit, I'm exercising levity. Go ahead.
But
But no, I was going to ask the same question that Eric asked both of us. You already, you know, took my words out of my mouth. I fucked the shit out of him.
Let me say this. Now, true enough, if you're enjoying a person, a person's spirit, who a person is, sex isn't everything in a relationship. I didn't say that.
Thank you.
Sex is a very important part of it. And women enjoy sex too, Eric. When you're talking about sex, you're acting as if women don't want sex.
No,
as if only men want sex.
No.
And we know that's a lie, correct?
Right. Correct. We know that's a lie. But all right,
so let me tell you something else that's not talked about, because I'll bring this out. If a guy is trying to relate to a woman, a particular woman, and he's trying to be this Mr. Goody Two Shoes and all of this, a woman will become insecure that she's even attractive to him. Because if a woman, see, women are more sexual than men. And if women choose men absolutely based on their sexual desire for that man. We need to understand that and take our heads out of the sand. A woman only chooses a man that she's sexually attracted to.
A woman only talks to a man if she's sexually attracted to him, and that's going to be dependent upon his status, his money, how good looking he is.
Right, but
otherwise,
it's the same thing, Joe, and we need to say that. A woman is only attracted to a man, and she's very superficial. Remember, men are visual for the purposes of appreciation. Women are visual for the purposes of exclusion and rejection. So when a woman looks at you, she's looking at you specifically for selfish reasons. So if we can agree that women are completely sexual beings, and they think with their little head. Most guys who don't know are dumb to the fact that women have a miniature penis, and it's called a clitoris. And the only purpose for a clitoris is sexual gratification. Women have a higher capacity for sex. Women have a higher drive for sex. So what we need to do is get the lies out of the way. They say tell the truth and shame the devil. Most people, if you ask most people, now they may, some of them may get upset at me only because I'm telling the truth, and they're liars. They don't want to face the truth. They never face the truth. But what men, I think like Joe, Stanley, myself, and of course you, Eric, and other quality men, we want the truth. We want a woman who is available, who will listen, and who is supportive. And obviously, we want a woman that's attractive. Attractiveness is a property of a woman. That's very important. And most of the time, our language does not really describe the situation that we are confronted with. And that creates a huge problem or chasm also. But that's what we want. Beauty is a property of a woman. That's why women can fard, use our makeup and this sort of thing to enhance whatever attractiveness they have. And most women use makeup. And I, in order to clarify this with a therapist, I asked her if she would be okay with a guy using makeup to enhance his attractiveness. If women put attractiveness as high on the scale of acceptability as men do, then, of course, I ask, well, why not allow guys to use makeup? And she says, no. I said, why not? She says, well, a guy that uses makeup, I would think he was gay. I said, okay, he explains to you he's not gay. He's just doing it to enhance his attractiveness to women. Are you okay with it? Guess what she said? No.
She said no. Yeah.
She doesn't want guys to use makeup at all. But, see, women have an unrealistic expectation of beauty in a guy. They look at these little Justin Barber, these little cute-ass guys, these little effeminized-looking guys, and then they transfer that and extrapolate and think most men are supposed to look that way, and that's just not true. Most men look very much alike. When you look at men, men aren't supposed to be pretty. Now, we're supposed to be handsome and well-groomed, and that's fine. But women go the extra step, false eyelashes, makeup, ruse, hair implants, hair extensions, which I hate that shit. But But, you know, nevertheless, women, not coming across clearly. Now, most people hate COW, prisoner of the weed. But this is the thing that men have got to share with women, because women have gotten completely out of control. Like Joe often says, women are the architects of their own misery, or words to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing, self-destruction. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the question that I asked them. If you're dating a woman and she tells you no sex until you make a commitment to her, what would be your response?
Oh, that's fine. In fact, that should be great. Vice versa. We should both make it. That's excellent.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute, Matt. Uh-oh.
In fact, the relationship between most men and women is never clearly defined anyway. They just end up back. I use the term backing into a relationship. Yeah, that's fine not to have sex.
My point is that.
In fact, that's true. You shouldn't have sex before there's a commitment. Now, most women won't keep that. Women won't keep that themselves. See, that's the problem. But I point out you should get an STD examination and be able to share that with each other. You should have responsible sex and determine what kind of birth control you're going to get, utilize. And the woman should have a definite form of birth control that she uses. Not depending on the guy, but that she uses. Now, did I answer that question satisfactorily, copacetically?
Oh, yeah. See, it's 2-on-2 now. Because Stan and Joe said, and putting it in Joe's word, I fucked the shit out of her.
Well, see, this is the thing, Eric. There are plenty of things, and I'm sure Joe and Stan would agree with this because they're reasonable. If you're involved with a woman and you enjoy her, her personality, her character is sweet, I mean, she just knows how to coalesce with you, how to grow with you. And in his right mind is going to reject that, except the one that she chooses, which is the bad boy. The bad boy doesn't give a crap. But, you know, and you could spend 6 months, a year together before having, because you all are enjoying each other. Now, I disagree with Stan that you have to test the woman in order to know how compatible you are sexually. I don't agree with that at all, and I tell you why. The reason I don't agree with that is because the largest sex organ on the body, or in the body, is the brain. That's the largest sex organ. So if you all are committed to each other and each other's happiness, virtually any abnormality that you would have, which usually there aren't any abnormalities, they're just mental, there are psychological issues and behavioral issues that people have. But if you understand what I'm saying is, all those can be worked through. If you like everything else about the person, hey,
yeah,
vaginas
I want to find out
were made.
Well, how are you going to test a woman sexually? Because I believe, and there's a show that Stan and I go to fairly often, and one of the co-hostesses believes that she should test a man. I don't have any problem with testing somebody in order to find out whether or not they are actually authentic. This way, I don't have to waste my time with them. But Stan, how would you test a woman sexually? Oh, Stan must be getting a sandwich.
Well, he said he would have sex with her to test her sexual. In other words, he was talking about sexual compatibility. I heard him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard him a number of times state that same case.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see if it was sexually compatible and everything,
okay.
because I don't want to have a woman who's like acting like a virgin, never had sex with any guy, that she's like,
oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that much, Stan, because most of them aren't virgins anyway.
No,
I mean,
I
understand what you're saying, but also even there
it
wouldn't fit if you really parse this out. Because there was an era in history where virginity in a woman was highly prized. And those marriages were much better than the marriages we have today.
And
you don't have to test
a
woman sexually.
Back in the day, women
to know her sexually. If she's committed to you, she can please you sexually.
What happened to the dowry?
Hello?
Yeah, what happened to the dowry? There was a time
dowry
way back
is
when.
Still in effect in some areas.
In some areas of the country, yes.
somewhere else in the world.
Yeah,
no,
but
I
want
world,
a consensus
not,
on this.
Here.
Do you guys agree? Because let me do this. This is what I would ask Stan. What is it that you learn in the sexual experience? Say, for example, if a woman is incompatible sexually with you, Stan, what is that a function of? Describe an example of a woman being sexually incompatible.
Well, a woman that doesn't know her body, doesn't know herself, doesn't know what she pleases her, doesn't know what doesn't please her, doesn't know anything. Basically, is very scared of, doesn't have any sexual interest with sex, hate sex.
All right, now
sex.
Freeze frame right there. Now, guys, you guys check this out. Check me out on this. That is something that you guys can discuss, and that can be compensated for with effort on the part of the woman if she's willing to be your
compatible
mate. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, if she's amenable to suggestions,
Yeah, I agree with that.
Of course.
I'm trying to get Stan. I'm trying to see where if he agrees with it. Do you agree with that, Stan? Hello, is Stan still there, or did he get another sandwich? Double-decker.
I think it's double-decker time.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. What Stan is saying, it's not necessary to have actual physical intercourse with a person to address and even rectify the issue that Stan raised. Because that issue is a willingness on the part of the person. And you can get that information non-sexually. You can get that information vis-a-vis communication. If the woman is willing.
That,
see, that all has to do with the compatibility of the woman.
No, I'm just
co-sign with that. You agree with that, correct?
No, I don't agree with that. No.
You don't agree with that?
No.
Why not?
Because in order to find out if the girl is sexually compatible, she's going to have to be sexually compatible. I can't talk to her about whether or not she's good or not in bed. I'm going to have to find out for myself.
Yeah, but Joe, had you finished? Let me know.
Huh?
No, let me know when you finish. I didn't know.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Well, see, the thing of it is, if she's willing to work with you sexually, you don't think that virtually all the problems that could exist sexually will be overcome if she's willing to work with you sexually?
Well, that's part of my particular foundation, is that people have to change. But the way that I was getting you, and I may have been getting you wrong, it seemed to me, I think you said you don't have to go to bed to find out if a woman's sexually compatible with you. You can do that through communication. And
I did say that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm disagreeing with you on that, because how am I going to find out whether or not this woman is good in bed unless we are in bed?
Well, I just said to you if she's willing to accommodate you sexually.
But if we don't go to bed, how do I know if she's accommodating me if we're not in bed?
Well, exactly. I think, Joe, you need to look at that, because I think that whatever it is, okay, you tell me what you're going to learn in bed and what is going to be the problem that needs to be rectified. Give me
whether
an example of the problem that you would perceive
in bed. I'm a vagina that's nice and tight and smooth, whether or not she can kiss, hold me in bed, whether or not she likes me caressing her the way that I do. Maybe she doesn't like me to go down on her. Maybe she does like me to go down on her.
Okay, great.
Those are things that you actually can have a conversation about, and she can let you know that.
We can talk about it, but that doesn't mean that she's good in bed about it, or that I'm good in bed about it.
But what's she doing? If you're talking about it, that means the parameters are being set as to what, you know, what's good and what's bad. And then from there, you two can work on it once you decide to go to bed together.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
So you're saying, well, but not the way that I'm getting it from Rich. I can talk about it. She can talk about it before we go to bed, and maybe she'll open up and say, well, I've had these problems before. And I can say, well, I can do this. And she'll say, okay, that sounds good. I can tell her about something which I hope that she would like to do. That's fine. And then we go to bed. Then if both of us are willing to accommodate one another, then we can find out whether or not we're compatible.
Well, and more than that, Joe, more than that, you can actually be compatible. Because let me give you a scenario. If you like the person in every other way, but non-sexually, it's every other way. You like their personality, they're accommodating, they're supportive, they're a good listener, they're unselfish, all of this. This is a woman, although, mm-hmm. you know, I love that woman I described. But, okay, all of those things yeah. exist in her.
Send her my way, will you?
No, I'm going to keep her.
No, you got competition there, buddy.
But the point is this, and I hope women are listening. They can just listen. But
learn,
the thing is, okay, you have a woman such as I just described.
Mm-hmm.
What problem, right, given all those attributes, say something comes up in bed, like you just mentioned. Say she is a little squeamish about you kissing her, or she's
right.
not a good kisser. Let's
right.
just use that for example. But she says, well, Joe, I know I may not, you know, kiss up to your standards, but I'm willing to let you teach me. I like you that much. And since we, you know, mesh on everything else, you know, I'm willing to adapt to how you like to be kissed. Okay, what about that? How do you feel about that?
No problem.
That's my point.
Exactly.
And I think that would be the case in 99.9999% of the cases if you had the kind of woman that I just described. Now, the real problem when I analyze, and I'm the troubleshooter, by the way, when I analyze the problems that men and women have, they are not what you call essential problems. They are secondary problems that could be addressed if the people were willing to address them. And
right.
a lot of times they wouldn't have to do that much.
Right. That's right.
That is right.
No, yeah, but because of their narcissism and their romantic expectations, which are just out of this world, that prohibits them from being willing to change.
Exactly. So let's understand now before we leave here today. It's not their sexual incompatibility. It is their behavioral incompatibility or their behavioral dysfunction. That's where the real problem is, in
yeah.
my humble opinion.
No, I agree with you. But you have to find out whether or not you're compatible in bed by actually going to bed. What you're suggesting is to find out theoretically if you're compatible before going to bed, because she can tell me certain things, I can tell her certain things, but perhaps the chemistry, the texture
is not there
when you
exactly.
go to bed. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I got you there, but understand this, fellas. What happens is, see, there's always going to be, and this is no pun intended, there's always going to be tweaking. Whenever you
Thank
get
you.
Two people together, Webster uses the word unique. That's a very, it's like one of a kind. And in a sense, all of us are unique. The way we share our uniqueness is through this phenomena of communication that we're talking about right now. So I just want to make sure we understand, and I understand what you're saying too, Joe,
mm-hmm.
because ultimately, yeah, I mean, the sex itself is an entity within itself. But if you have that other base covered, you coalesce, you like each other's character, and all the
mm-hmm.
good things that we've said are existing. Any deficiency, as it were, or there's probably a better word for it, but I'm just going to use the word deficiency. Any deficiency can be rectified by the willingness of the partner.
No,
and another thing with the solution. Another thing that I would add to that. Also, I don't want that woman. Hello.
Yeah.
We hear.
Okay, I don't want the woman to also have that feeling or that entitlement inside her head that she thinks that what she has between her leg is the goal. And a lot of women think that what they have behind their leg is a prize. I don't want that kind of woman. I want
right,
the kind
right.
of woman
but see,
to...
Stanley, you actually, and I'm going to be very candid with you, you are actually the creator of the very monster that you don't want. And you may say, well, how is that? Well, number one, presuming that women won't change. Number two, not men don't have an agenda. That's the problem with most men. Men are just men accept sewage from women. Whatever waste a woman spews out, men take it. And a lot of men have very low self-esteem. Let a woman know what you want. And I always say, be reasonable. And one of the reasons women are so unreasonable in what they ask for is because they don't have the leveling and boundary effect of men having shared the truth with them. So women are operating really in fantasy land, in isolation. And so it's important, and I told you before, and I think this is so crucial, you only want to be with a woman who wants to be with you. You never want to try and convince a woman to be with you, because the fact of the matter is the only glue, tenuous glue, that holds a relationship together is that mutual love that the two people have for each other, that mutual attraction, mutual desire, and that sort of thing. And I'm not trying to regulate that, although I think we should modify it slightly when it's gone way out of control.
Well,
but
the bottom
try
line
to
is if
the woman
and
that
if
she should like you. Fuck
well,
her.
Sure. But then
kick
again, that goes
ass
back
to the curb immediately, or if not sooner. Only deal with women who want to deal with you, because when the fit hits the shan, as they say, you know, it's going to be a total breakdown. And the women can use the courts in a way that you can't. And they were discussing last night prenuptial agreements. I had to listen to an old.
Yeah, but see, let's go back to what you were saying before, Rich. You, I, and Stanley talking about for her to like you, she has these criteria. Now, if you fulfill those criteria of sex, she wants your cock, she wants your wallet, she wants your status. If she doesn't want those three things, she's not bothering with you at all. She's barely going to smile at you. She, if you and her work in the same office, she won't even give you the time of day because she's thinking of you as a nothing. But if you're going to have this woman who likes you, it's because you fulfilled these three criteria, and she's hoping that you are going to fulfill them even more. So if she likes you, then fine. She's going to accommodate up to a point. The thing is that women, even when they get into a relationship, this is what I've been saying for years, they, because they are the architects of their own self-destruction, cannot tolerate a harmonious relationship. They have to have drama, and that's something that's part of your foundation.
Ah, so, but that's our fault. I'm going to say, I got to call it strike. Got to call it like it is. That's our fault.
You know.
Wait. Let me say this. That's our fault, Joe, and we need to own up to that. We need to not be little pom-pom girls and bitches by not owning up to our responsibility. And the problem is women, most women, I think, there's about 40% of women who are on the fence. They don't know which way to go. And what happens is, it's just like I was telling Stan before, most women never hear what men want. Most men never hear what men want because men don't say it. And as Dr. Farrell said, women can't hear what men don't say. And if you listen to the vast majority, I was listening to last night, as I said, on the Ebony Princess or whatever. Yeah, they were dealing with prenuptial agreements. And the guy she had on there sound really intelligent, but he kind of pissed me off in the sense, and I mean this in the best way, by the way. He kind of pissed me off because he was talking about a woman who had a house, a man had a house, she sold her house, and then she moved in the man's house. And then subsequently, after a couple of years, they broke up. And then she got half the money for his house. And this guy, this boob, laughed. Ha, 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 he laughed. And I'm thinking, well, obviously it was an archive show, so I couldn't call in. But he was laughing at a man's tremendous misfortune. That shit ain't funny. Now, it hasn't happened to me for these guys who will say, oh, you're hurt. No, I'm not hurt. I have empathy, something that you need to look up and understand. And I don't like to see men get stepped on like that. Okay, so, but he was laughing. He laughed at that. And he laughed at something else that was negative to men. And I wondered if he would have laughed if the situation had been reversed.
All right, so what are we as men going to do?
Well, we're going to tell the truth. We don't have faith in the most fundamental and most powerful entity in human nature, and that is telling the truth. Telling the truth, letting women know what you want, letting them be letting them be saturated with hearing that. They don't hear that. So they can't even conceive of it because they don't hear it. So men need to say, we want women who approach us. Not that, well, women will never approach us. Fuck no, they won't, because you've already given them permission not to. So men need to start saying what they want. Make it in threes or twos, or think of little clever ways to say a lot. I was talking to an attorney once, and she talked about a word sentence. Learn to use word sentences. So words that have the meaning of an entire declarative sentence. So what men need to do is start not equivocating and being biatch made, but say specifically what they want from women. And that 40% of women will receive that. You follow me?
40% of women will what?
The 40% of women who are on the fence, who don't know whether to be complete jerks or to be quality women, the women that you and
said
we desire, that I described earlier. A woman who will listen, a woman who's compassionate, a woman who...
40% will do what?
Huh?
40% will do what?
40% of the 99.9% that you say don't make good girlfriend and good wife material, 40% of those women are just ignorant of what men want.
So if you tell a woman what you want, then somehow that's going to counter her indoctrination about being daddy's little girl.
Absolutely, because a lot of women have never heard the truth from men. And the thing of it is, you can't lose. We're on the floor now. As they say, you can't fall from the floor. You're already at the lowest point. You're at point zero, or ground zero. And so what needs to happen now is women, and have some women call in, Eric. Ask women, and they may not like it at first. I understand. It'll be like putting acid. It'll be like the acid test is what it'll be like. But when they hear the truth, they may not like it at first. They might bark and
disagree. To use your metaphor, it'd be like throwing holy water on Dracula.
Bitch, yeah, or on Dracula, exactly. Yeah, but they need to hear the truth, and you would be amazed at how powerful the truth is when it lands on the proper ears.
So
and that's what I think
proper women. You're saying the proper, it goes back to how many of them are the proper women. So you're saying, tell the truth, tell them what you want, and then women are going to accommodate.
A lot of women will, because a lot of women are at the end of their ropes, as it were, no pun intended. And they've tried everything else that has failed.
Well, how old are these women?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Some women have been through at the end of their rope at 25. Some of them are at the end of their lives at 25. I mean, come on. So, but this is what guys need to be consolidated on.
I think, man, I agree with you that men have to tell the truth in order for their own sanity. I don't see how telling women the truth is going to, even 40% if they say no or yes, at least 60%. I don't see a huge percentage of women saying, well, I appreciate what you're saying, and I think I'll go along with that.
Well, Joe, I mean, it has to be that way, because how are they going to know what you're thinking?
I've been doing it for years. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been talking about it and doing it for 20 years.
There's some women out there that haven't heard what you've been saying, Joe.
Yeah, but we're talking about the ones that you talk about.
1,000, Joe. You're one among 10,000. So that's not very many.
Yeah, but I've been talking to the women. I haven't been talking to the men. I've been talking to the women, and the women...
No, but really, we need to talk to the men. We need to...
I agree with you on that. There has to be a mass education of men.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Because women, look, what happens... Let me just show you how this works. What happens is, when we get together and act like women, we are women. When we get together and act like women, women hear that. They see that. And they know that everything they're doing is fine. Why? Because they know the guys are like them. But that's why guys need to get a platform. They need to be like me. When I go out, my point is this. I'm not paying for shit. Okay? I'm paying for nothing. Not because I can't. I don't want to, and I don't know you that well. I'm only going to pay for something when I know you're meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I find ways to do it. Now, I don't get into arguments with women. When you're in a relationship, it's about enjoyment. The buoyant, what do they call it? In French, it's joie de vivre. The buoyant enjoyment of life and each other. So what I do is orchestrate dates. And a lot of us should stop being pussies, like the guy who comes on your show sometimes, Eric. And I told him he didn't know what the hell he was talking about, and I meant it. Now, he and I met up on Tracy Winbush's show, and he was being this little pom-pom pussy. And I don't care if he comes on the show now, I tell him. And he says, well, Mr. Solution, I introduce you to Tracy. And I told him and Tracy straight up, I said, Tracy and I are incompatible. Tracy is a little Hitlerette, and she is very combative. Tracy once told me, well, she didn't want to date me, but she was just saying that reflexively. But the point of it is, there are no men trying to date Tracy. That's the point. And I even point out in the Bible where it says it's a problem with a whole lot of single women running around, gossiping, not being married, and just creating havoc in the community. That is a blight on the community. And, of course, Tracy uses this inappropriate scripture. She says, he who finds a wife. And what they're doing is they're not even understanding that scripture. That scripture says a wife. If you're not a wife, that scripture doesn't apply to you. And moreover, women in context, women in that day when that scripture was written, those women were certifiable virgins. And if they weren't, they were under a damn rock pile.
What I like to do right now,
Rick, executed for not being virgins.
And what I like to do, maybe even Sam, I want to jump in on this, is this. You have the philosophy that women should initiate the approach, should come to you, women, to men first. So since we have no chicks on the line.
Sometimes, half the time, share it.
Who?
Share it. Not do it all the time, but share it.
Oh, okay. That sounds like almost 180 from what you were saying before.
Go ahead.
All right, so you don't mind then that if men do approach and if some women approach. But let's say I'm a woman and I'm very recalcitrant, okay? I don't want to change, but I've been listening to the philosophy of I should approach men. Here's the thing. I'm good-looking, dude, okay? I'm an 8, at least an 8. I get approached by men no matter where I go. I have drinks bought for me by men I don't even want to talk to. Why? How would it benefit me to approach somebody when I can just stand near them, look at them for a half second, and they'll talk to me? Why would I want to expose myself to rejection by doing that?
Well, the thing of it is, if it's working for her, keep it up. If it's not working for her, she needs to do something different. And, Eric, you might tell Loving Light to get her slick mouth ass on the line.
Is the chat room open? Because something's wrong with my computer, because I can't even get...
Light is a chat room rat.
Yeah.
Really?
To get her sorry ass on the line. Now, she makes these little snide remarks in the chat room. That's why I call her a chat room rat.
I agree with you. You know, Chicky, get your ass on the line.
Get her ass on the line. She may not even... Well, yeah, get her ass on the line. Shut up.
Freaking
we don't want to hear from
you
if you can't get your ass on the line.
Little whoever you are in the chat room. I can't even get inside the chat room. I'm going to try to get there and refresh to see if this works. But anybody who doesn't confront somebody on the internet... You're a little coward.
She is a coward. She always does that. She follows me around, and she makes these little snide chat room rat remarks, and she never gets her ass on the phone. She may not be able to think.
No, I can't get in the chat.
Wimp, wussy, coward, as Joe said, on the phone.
Female coward, exactly what she is. Since I don't know her, I might call her a pink punk-ass bitch if I knew her, but I don't know her, so I'm going to spare her those words.
Okay, let's get back to what we're talking about.
All right.
Okay,
so
I'm done with her, but that's the point. You have these near-do-well, these cowards. They can't articulate anything. All they can do, they never deal with the subject. Notice that. They don't deal with the subject. They just deal with someone else's personality who has the guts to put themselves out there, and they're cowards.
That's
so
right.
If she can't get her ass, she's a chat room rat. If she can't get on the line, just shut up.
Yeah, go back to your whole little chat brat. No, I can't even call you a chat brat because I used to have chat brats come to my show, and they were pleasant people. But some coward little girl who's using a chat room to express herself when she can't come on the line to actually find some knowledge here. Go back to wherever you came from and just be the architect of your own self-destruction, little girl.
Okay.
I second that 100%. That's the thing, what I'm encouraging guys to do, because, look, this is a civil, social situation. I know a lot of us have blown it out of proportion, but I just think, Joe, again, I know I've said between 80 and 90% of women, American women, don't make good girlfriend and good wife material. Now, I've heard you, you know, on
I've
some
said
days
between 95 and 99, right.
When you're pessimistic, yeah, you'll say 99% of it. But see, I've got to see some optimism in that to say that a large percentage of those women, that 99% of women who currently don't make good girlfriend and good wife material, they are uninformed women. About the other percentage of those women are lost. They're unsalvageable.
Mm-hmm.
About 40% of those women are savable if men would reattach their gonads and have a real conversation with the women, which they have never had.
I disagree.
And I can't blame all these women for something they've never heard.
Well, I disagree, because the conversations have been there. I mean, there have been men who've probably gone to therapy. There have been men who've read books, therapists themselves. They do it. But they don't have satisfactory relationships, nor do they have satisfactory marriages. And I think it boils down, and I could be wrong, but I'm not just talking about my experiences. I've been talking to guys for 20 years.
Right, right.
And they've been telling me the same thing, and you've been telling me the same thing too, Rich. But I boil it down to this. It's narcissism, extreme selfishness, based upon our society telling women you are a precious little thing, reinforced by their fathers. Okay, and then the other thing is that
we're out trying to screw everything that moves.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that romantic expectations. When you're disappointed, see, when a girl wants Superman and Batman shows up, ordinarily a Batman should be the prize. But when she wants Superman because she thinks she deserves Superman, she's not going to be satisfied with Batman.
But the reason she thinks that way, Joe, is because she's never been introduced to reality. You'd be amazed. Now, I don't discount anything you say. In fact, I know what you're saying is true. It is true. However, I have to not just look at that it's true. I have to look at why is it true. It's true because daddies lie to women. I was talking to a father. I talk to fathers all the time. And he was saying all the things that his little girl should get from the right guy. And I said to him very, you know, just we were having a good conversation, and I said to him, well, I understand what you're saying, and that sounds all well and good, but what is she going to issue, what is she going to give the guys that's commensurate with what she expects from the guy? And literally, Joe, I kid you not, this guy was just the question, he started to quake and shake.
and Mr. Talusha, to add what you're saying, that's the total different way. Because
man, let me just finish this. Please, don't forget yours. And he said, you know what? I never thought of that. That's what he said to me. I never thought what she should give in exchange for the good behavior.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that response.
But that, anyway, go ahead, Stan. That's my point.
And Mr. Talusha, to add what you said, when I went to Brazil, and I was so amazed by the women, how they would treat men so right and so correctly, I was basically asked, I was invited one time to a dinner with one girl that I find very attractive, and I asked the mother who was there, your daughter is super exceptional. How did you raise her? And she said, I raised my daughter how to treat men properly. That's one thing I've raised her how to do, you know, and the father also, they raised their daughter how to treat men properly compared to here, like you say, Joe and you, they're raising daughter here to say they're the princess, that what they have between the legs is the most precious thing in the world, that they don't have no accountability, that they're always right, that, you know, if a man do wrong on you, it's always his fault, never yours. You know, things like that. You are independent. Things like that. And the whole philosophy changed. So I'm not surprised when the father reacted the way he did. Not surprised at all, Mr. Suge.
In fact, they will balk against it. They don't want to teach their daughters how to treat men because they're not taught themselves to teach the women, the little girls, how to treat men. It's always about how to treat the men, open up the doors, be a gentleman, buy the corsage, get the flowers, open up the car door. But nothing anymore. It used to be back pre-1950s, how to treat a man, but not anymore.
Yeah. There used to be, I remember a document that said to a person, if you're a wife, this is what you need to do to treat a man properly. Can you imagine that document in 1960 coming in 2012? Women would laugh at that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be submissive to any man. I'm an independent woman. I'm going to show him my degrees, and he should appreciate for my degree.
Did you see the commercial? I wish I had taped it. It couldn't be downloaded. There was a commercial where I presume the guy and the girl are married. So the guy's watching TV. So she's going to go into the kitchen to get something. He says, hey, honey, can you get me a Coke? She goes, you've got to be kidding. Oh,
wow.
Did I want
to
smack whoever wrote the commercial? I wanted to smack the actress in the commercial. You've got it. All this bullshit is being reinforced.
Yeah. It was like another commercial I saw. The man or the woman was eating yogurt. And the woman, basically the man was like, you know, being childish and not giving her the yogurt. And you know what the woman did? She started did a headbutt to the guy. And she was laughing, like, oh, it's so funny that the woman did a headbutt to the guy.
You were
kidding? That was a funny commercial.
Now, I've seen commercials where the guy gets kicked. It's a foreign commercial. I've seen commercials where the guy gets kicked in the nuts. And I'm surprised it was European. But here's the thing, Rich. When you're talking about honest communication and making sure that you're letting your boundaries be known, being honest with the girl, what's the difference between that and keeping the woman in check?
Same thing. There's no difference.
All right.
There's no difference.
Then I can understand that. But I have a
keeping the woman in check.
It's a sort of a disagreement. I have a. I don't like it because if I have to always, because this is what somebody. Oh yeah, Stanley. You know, when you go, what's that BTR show that's teaching guys how to be alpha males?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I have an objection to where it has when it goes.
Team.
Yeah, when it goes too far. Because if I always have to keep my woman in check, that means I can't trust her. Now, I know I'm a purist. If I have to keep her in check like 5% of the time, one day out of the month or so, but if I always have to keep her in check because of her romantic expectations that she wants a bad guy, no matter how good I am, it wears on me. Now, I have to say, with most guys, it probably doesn't. But with me, I don't like it. I love harmony, and I agree with you. A woman has to be put in check. But if I have to do it constantly, then I can't trust her.
But let me review. That would wear on any guy, Joe. That would wear what you just described. And let me say, let's review. Let's go back to the beginning, because I know what happens with most of us, we neglect the beginning only to experience the downfall of having neglected it.
Okay.
That woman you shouldn't be with. And that year, that 6 months to a year, spending quality time, you get to know that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about this subject recently. Even when you talk about the prenup, how a person responds to a prenup is a good
very good. Very good, yes. Yeah.
Of what their character is. And so when you spend this quality time with the person, and we talk about the engagement phase, which is a level higher than dating, but the engagement phase is not the ultimate commitment. Therefore, in a lot of states, If you offer an engagement ring wherein the fruition of that intention does not come to pass, that engagement ring has to be returned because the promise was not followed through on. And so the thing is that when you're with a woman who's combative, who you've got to keep in check, that's not a woman you want to be with, because that woman drains your life.
Tell me about
that stress. I explain stress, and I'll just explain it briefly. Stress is basically the smooth muscles of both your intestine, digestive system, and your circulatory system. Those muscles fatigue, which weakens your immune system, which allows you to be attacked. That's why medical experts tell us that the major source of every disease is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the major source of stress is lack of financial wherewithal. So when I talk about, you know, having all your bills current, having a year's supply, which is what financial advisors tell us, having a year's in reserve, a year's salary in reserve, and, of course, having had an elimination within the last 12 hours, certainly before talking to me, that allows one to not be distracted and to not be toxic. And so, you know, when you have a woman where you've constantly got to treat her like a two-year-old, that's not a woman you want to be with. Let Dracula have her ass.
I agree with Mr. Solution. It's not, you check a woman maybe once or maybe twice, but after that, you got to let her go. You got to give her consequence when she does something stupid. You got to tell her, like, you will not disrespect me again, and if you do, it's over. Because if you don't, then the woman's going to say, I can do whatever I want with Stanley. I can disrespect him 10 times. You'll take it.
Right.
And then you're done. You're done. You're done.
Okay. Well, you know what? Now, I guess it's just a term that's used, but, you know, here's my thing on it. You shouldn't have to check anybody in the damn relationship. If y'all talking and communicating the way you're supposed to be, you shouldn't have to check a woman, and the woman shouldn't have to check the man because you're on the same wavelength. All this checking, come on now. Now, like Mr. Solution said, though, if you got to check your woman or she got to check you, then no, you don't need to be in that relationship because ain't nothing. It's not there.
I agree, but look at the men that the women choose. They want the men, the Hell's Angels types, the Marlon Brando types, the all-general, all-purpose bad boys.
They
create the drama in order to be checked.
Right, but listen to the type of men you're talking about. All that men, what they mostly see on TV and the media and all that other good crap. You see? So that's the image that they have. So, like Mr. Solution said, it's up to us, the men, that's here for real, let them know that's
just
I agree. Ignorant.
And it has to be done on a mass scale, because if not, then the chick will say, okay, fuck him, I'll go on to somebody else. But,
and that's what you want, by the way. That's exactly what you want. I was on a show the other day, and I talked about what your headlights do at night. Your headlights steer you clear of the curb and of the cliff. And the woman that you're talking, that you just described, she's the precipice. She's the abyss. You want to steer clear of her. And that's what the purpose of open and honest communication is. Some people are irredeemable, okay? You cannot redeem them.
Right.
And so you want to steer clear of those type people. But see, I would be remiss if I didn't say I think there are some very wonderful women. I've met some very nice women. They generally are married. But they're very, very nice. And I say to them all the time, I see why you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that lady we were speaking to just yesterday? She was in the 1 to 5% of women because she didn't have a hair up her rectum, and she was able to really communicate and listen, whereas these other knuckleheaded clucks are nothing but noise. And if a woman who doesn't have a man and says she wants one is a ragged individual.
Well, I'm
going
to go back to what you used to say. That was more ragged, what you used to say. If a woman
has a problem with her attitude, character, personality, and or weight.
Right.
That's where the problem lies.
Right, because you said primarily it was because of her looks, because like Stanley was referring to, you know, way back when, was that a woman's face is a currency. A woman's looks is a currency. So if a woman is good looking, and if she can't find a man, some man somewhere, even some doggedy, raggedy ass guy, something's wrong with her. Because there's plenty of guys willing to eat at the trough.
That's right. And in fact, Joe, I'm sorry for interrupting. There are more quality men than there are women. And you say, prove that. I say, thank you for asking. It is what a person is willing to do that demonstrates their care and concern. So if men are willing to pay for women and mm-hmm. willing to risk rejection and all mm-hmm. these negatives, early death due to stress, then, of course, men are generally better than women. And I think it was Dr. Gray that said, and I bought 7 of his books, by the way, and gave them away just to generate conversation, mm-hmm. a little bit of my altruism. But what it was is he made the point, but he made it so quick the host had to replay it to actually get it and slow it down a little bit. No, I'm teasing. He actually said it very clearly. Mm-hmm. He said, men care more about women than women do about men. That's provable, as I just stated. It's axiomatic when you just a cursory examination of the situation between men and women will prove that. And what I often say, most of us who talk about relationships do not recount real male-female interaction. I saw a guy yesterday. I just happened... You know, I had on my coveralls because I was helping the workers do some work on my house or just look at it. You know, termites and that sort of thing. And they did a really good job. But anyway, I went to buy them lunch. I went to buy the guys lunch, you know. And there was this construction worker that, made a play at one of the ladies who worked in the restaurant. She went across the street to purchase something. And he said, hey, what's your name? And she held up her hands with the universal signal, I don't know. Well, see, she didn't want to talk to him. And I just thought, that's a metaphor for what men have to deal with all the time. Women generally don't initiate the communication. They generally rebuff men. And, of course, they don't introduce anybody. So American women are taught to be failures at relationships, and I'm going back and agreeing with what Joe and Stanley said earlier. They're taught through every method and methodology and every media to be horrible failures at relationships. And so what has to happen is men need to step up when they get the opportunity, whether it's in cyber media, person to person, on shows like this. They need to be able to say what they want. Stanley, do you want women? And I'm talking about attractive women, Stanley, so I don't want to go through that shit about their not being attractive. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I want to preempt that bullshit. So would you appreciate attractive women approaching you, introducing themselves, and starting pleasant conversation? Yes or no?
Of course.
Well, they have to hear that. They can't do and perform that which they don't know you want.
They don't.
I know you're
attractive.
Not a pussy, but a lot of us take on a pussy persona when we behave in this insular way. We don't say to women very clearly what we want. That's our fault, not women's. Our fault. If you go into a store, that damn clerk can't read your mind.
Okay, you're right.
It's like we can't read women's minds. They can't read ours either.
No, I'm not talking about that. You're absolutely right about that. Men nor women can absolutely read each other's minds. I was thinking about something else, about being honest and open. And I've been doing this for a long time. And it just doesn't happen as easily as you think, Rich.
No, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier. Like, okay, the women will say a guy who won't take, they get offended, some of them, And well, I'm just going to use Love and Light. I know she's an attention whore, so.
What, is there somebody in the chat room?
Yeah, Love and Light. Love and Light is pissed off because I said I wouldn't pay for shit on a first date. She's got her panties all in a bunch.
Oh, poor little Love and Light.
And she is the only one. She's burning up the chat room. And let me just give her, because I know she loves, she's an attention whore. So anyway, what happens is, she was saying that, oh, I'm this pretty woman. Men approach me all the time. Everything is about her. Like I said, she's
right.
A confirmed attention whore.
Mm-hmm.
One of her bits of heartburn with me is I said I won't pay for anything on the first date. Now, she noticed she didn't really listen. She doesn't listen very well. I didn't say I wouldn't pay. I said, I don't want to pay until I get to know your ass. See, because women like her, who are extreme narcissists, like good relationship material, and I don't care what her state is, I don't think she's...
What's the background noise?
Yeah, all I'm saying is, no man should just be paying for a woman who doesn't mean anything to him.
No, I agree with you, Rich. I agree. I don't
and
mind
so,
paying.
And so, see, but women think, this goes back to your narcissism, is that men should just pay for them because they have a pussy. Now, their pussy may be shaped like a pocketbook, but that's not what I consider it. I don't consider a woman's pussy a pocketbook.
or a transfer of a bank account to one bank, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a woman is really saying. She's saying, pay for me because I'm putting my pussy up front to use it as a loss leader, but I don't want you to have it in any way except the way that I see it benefits me. And I want to use my pussy, my vagina, as a trap to get your money without my meaning anything to you, loosely stated.
Let me ask the attention whores in the chat room. Is the other one there, too?
No, it's just Love and Light right
well,
now.
Okay, let me ask her. Why is it, Weedy, that if a guy's going to be honest with you, if he's going to tell you, look, I don't want your stank-ass pussy, you will want him more than the guy who says, you know what, I like your looks, I appreciate the time we spent together, and I'd like to go to bed with you. Why do you want to go for the guy who probably, maybe intuitively, knows that you're not worth shit?
Oh, get this, Joe. You'll love this. This is what she says. She says, I can tell she's educated. She at least she's an educated fool. She says, most men with resources write off the food bills on their taxes anyway. Now, I guess that is supposed to make it okay for them to give it to her because they can write it off. That shows you her warped thinking.
Well, of course. What the hell? I just rebooted. I'm still not getting anything. All right. Somebody hijack my browser.
This is what she says, too. Oh, she's full of good nuggets now, even though she's an attention whore exponentially. Eric, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm
she
here.
Says, I don't know. This is her comeback. I don't know any men that would say that. I don't know any men who would deny me because I have a vagina. They wouldn't write it off on their experience. See, this woman is probably a low-key prostitute.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, attention whore was pretty good, but this, low-key prostitute.
Look at what she's saying. I mean, deduce. Come on. I don't know any men. Her whole thing is about money being, she's a socialist. She wants a transfer of money from men to her.
Oh, I agree, but I never heard you speak like that before.
Oh, well, she's got me going.
Huh?
She's got me going.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm at the page, Eric. I still can't get the chat room. Something's wrong with my computer. All right, never mind. I'm missing this. Shit.
Okay. Oh, look at what she says. Oh, I got. She says, and I'm doing this. This is for our edification. Blank her. She says they don't. These are the men who are pussies. See, she says she doesn't know any men. Mm-hmm. Stop right there. That's true. She doesn't know any men. Okay, she knows little boys that she can push around. And she says they don't have a problem paying. That is the point. And she calls me a fool. Now, she wants someone else's money for nothing, but yet I'm the fool.
Well, see, now I understand why you called the whore a whore. See?
Yes. Yeah, she probably prostitutes, does a little bit of that undercover, under-table work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I understand.
But as long as it's at the corner of the five-star restaurant, she's okay.
No, this is the kind of woman, really, though, that uses men. This is a user and a loser.
Yes.
She's a user loser.
I like that. I'm going to use that myself, a user and a loser. A user and a loser.
She's a time waster, like Alan says.
For sure.
She's a what? I'm sorry?
Time waster.
Time waster.
Oh, absolutely. She's a dead end. She's a cul-de-sac, and she's bankrupt.
She's a time waster, and that's one thing that you don't want to deal with. So,
hey,
and this
many,
is
baby?
The kind of woman that a man needs to mark out early and avoid.
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they marked their territory all over. How many baby daddies you got there? Whatever her name is.
All right. Well, we got 9 minutes left in the show.
Well,
so
then she can answer the question. 9 minutes. Huh? She can answer the question in 9 minutes.
The question in 9 minutes.
Sure, Shalane. If she wants to shoot the first salvo across Rich's bow, she can answer.
Well, until she types something, she feels like typing. All right.
All right.
She's a chat rat. She'll never call in. She doesn't have the guts and the courage.
Hey, chick, you need to grow some balls. You want to borrow some? Go get your former boyfriend. Otherwise, just keep on chatting.
Okay. All right, Joe, what's your closing statement?
Nope, I have nothing to say.
You don't have anything to say.
No, we've discussed it all before, and hopefully we'll get some women next time. Oh, that does not include you, whatever her name is. Don't try to pretend you're a woman. Female, yeah. Woman, no.
I think this may be a male, though. Love and Light, it may be a homosexual male.
Oh, well, can't learn anything if you're a homo. Okay.
Okay. all right, Stanley, what's your closing statement?
Well, my closing statement is like we said, Mr. Solution and us, we said what we need to say. Until women and men basically are honest with each other, we'll never resolve this issue. We'll never resolve. Until they're really honest, they take 100% responsibility for the choice they make, we'll never resolve this thing.
Well, I can dovetail off of that since I had nothing to say before. As like Rich said, it's mainly going to be up to us because we can't expect women to change. Okay.
No. I expect men to be. The one that has to be accountable. I don't care about women.
Right.
Women are going to do whatever men. If all men were like us three, women would have no choice to change.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right.
Because they would meet us and say, "Oh, you're offering me $3 let's go to dinner. You're paying half, by the way. We're going Dutch."
Stanley just got tased. I just tased Stanley. Talking about y'all. Somebody else on over here too now, Stanley. Don't be talking about us three. You just got tased.
No,
but anyway,
talking
go ahead.
About himself, Rich, and myself. Did you want to be included in that, Eric?
Go ahead.
Of course. There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Now, go ahead. Continue on.
I just say I want to see men get a consolidated position and just be able to tell women, you know, we love you, we want to be with you, the best of you, but we don't want to be cuckolded, we don't want to be, you know, played for the fool, and we know that many of you are into a lot of game, narcissism and this sort of thing. So let's just talk, let's just get to see if we know each other. Yet let's use the lubricity or the emollient of truth in order to really feel each other out. You know what oil does? It prevents the two friction-bearing surfaces from really ever coming into contact with each other. And it carries away the heat. So what we need to do is use the truth as a type of emollient and therefore enjoy each other's company, and ultimately find someone who is compatible. And I believe men having an agenda of what they want from women will really help everybody out. So now I'm focused more on men, and we need some women who will step up and say to men, hey, that's right. I'm a woman. Most women who initiate conversation with men, the men are so blown away, and don't let them buy a dinner on a first date. They have to get a defibrillator to revive the men and a little bit of oxygen. So men love women who show them the smallest bit of kindness. And women have got to get into the habit of doing more of that. But men need to let women know. Remember, women can't hear what you don't say. And that is what you want from them that you don't say. You agree with that, Eric?
I agree with that. I really do. First I want to thank Joe, Mr. Solution, and Stanley. You know, everybody in the chat room.
Everybody.
A great show today. Mm-hmm. But I see the Love and Light say women are not caring so much about the male agenda at this point. And that's not true. And actually, women should care about the male agenda. You really should.
Yeah, Love and Light may be a lesbian. I presume that she may be. She's some kind of dysfunctional person. And that could fit a lot of headings. But, you know, women are not caring so much about the male agenda at this point. Well, you know, go feed yourself or whatever. You don't want to hear that. She doesn't add any light. Her name is the antithesis of who she is.
They are not so much anymore.
Maybe if
from what they say secretly with each other.
Change that tampon. I'm sure her attitude will change for the rest of the evening.
Well, I don't know about what they say secretly, and maybe that's the problem. Everybody, they're talking among themselves secretly when they need to go and find some men and talk to them and find out what they really want.
And
you
if
can
they
say,
change,
you're saying secretly,
if, right? And they have to know, and the men have to get it across very well also that the change that the women need to do will be beneficial to them and to the relationship.
Right.
And see, again, people like Love and Light, we don't care what Love and Light says. Love and Light is incorrigible. She's recalcitrant. And therefore, these are the kind of women. Now, I'd like to hear what Love and Light says for purposes of illustration of what to avoid. And so, but that's the thing. Men need to steer clear of Love and Light, particularly good men. And this person is not love, and certainly there's no light, emanating.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to end it right there. Once again, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for another great show. And, tomorrow we're going to finish up this thing on communication, and hopefully we will come up with a solution as to how we gonna make this
communication, Eric? Just do it, and I'll see you
just
tomorrow. Hopefully,
all right.
Bye. All right, Rich, Stan, Eric, see you guys
bye-bye.
Later.
All right.
Bye bye.
All right, y'all. Well, that's it for today. Hey, it's been fun as always. Thank my people in the chat room. As always, interesting. All right, so here we go. This is what we're gonna do. Don't forget when you go home, hug that special someone. Make sure you tell them you appreciate them, you love them. It's hump day, so don't go out and do too many things because you still got to work tomorrow and Friday, all right? Well, until then, I'll see y'all tomorrow. We're going to finish up this thing about communication, and let's have some fun. Until then, I'm out of here.